But I'm so glad to serve a God who is excellent. With all the hell going on in this world, I need a God that's excellent. With all the hatred going on in this world, I need a God that's excellent. With the devil right on my heels, I need a God that's excellent. That's your name, God. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you thank God for being God, if you thank God for being excellent, stand to your feet and give God some praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Hey. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hey. Good morning, good morning, good morning, community of hope. Ask that you continue, as Reverend Doctor has already said, to keep Reverend Bill in your prayers as well as our pastor, and to thank them for trusting me just a little bit enough to stand before you and share the word of God. Thank you to Reverend Doctor for always being everything I need exactly when I need it. I thank God for you, and to my marvelous husband, thank you. Thank you for all things. And so to... And so to you, community, I hope that you do not judge me for not being in preacher's clothes, but I was literally just about on my way out the door when I got the call, and I hesitated for a moment to go and change, but the time warden gave me that look, and I was like, let me figure it out. So I thank God for this being a place where everybody has a chance, and you will take me as I am. Amen? Amen. Let us work on this morning. If you will go with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11, and we're going to read through verse 14. I'll be reading from the New International Version. When you have it, say amen. Okay, we need just a couple of more minutes. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I'm going to begin reading for our hearing. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. If you join me in a brief word of prayer on this morning on the sermon topic, But God, I Endured. Gracious God, thank you for being an excellent God. Thank you for positioning things so that I was able to endure. And because I have endured, Lord God, I ask that you move in me and through me. You be glorified. Take me all the way away, and you show up right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. But God, I endured. Most often when we think of the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, we go right to my favorite verse, that verse 11. Most of us can recite it by heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. But we usually stop right there at that verse because it makes us feel really good. We might even give a quick thank you, Lord, hallelujah. We know it's going to be all right. And that's not totally untrue. But if when in the midst of the struggle, we only look at verse 11, we just might find ourselves asking God, what in the world happened to your promise? The truth is, if we look at this entire pericope, we can learn a very valuable lesson about enduring and see exactly how we are called to endure. So what does it mean to endure? The dictionary tells us it means to suffer something of pain or difficulty patiently. Why on earth would we want to be called to endure if it means we are going to patiently suffer something that is painful or difficult? Well, we're going to talk about that on today. But another one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And everyone who has been through woman or men's discipleship should know this. No temptation has taken over you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. What I love about this scripture is it doesn't say if you are tempted. It says, but when you are tempted. This tells us it's not possible that we will face struggles. It is guaranteed that we will face struggles. And God has already given us a way to endure the struggles. To endure is an act of endurance. Endurance itself is the fact of power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process of situation without giving way. You mean to tell me there is power in being in the midst of a struggle and not giving up, but working through it? Well, yes, there is. We are called to endure, and there is absolutely power in everything that God has called us to. So what does this have to do with Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, being called to endure? You see, here, God is speaking to the people who have been exiled to Babylon. Exiled, as in they've been banished, kicked out, evicted, told they can't live here anymore. They have to find a new place to stay. They have no resources. They don't know where they're going to go. But here God is, and shocking that the people of Jerusalem are in the most difficult situation in their life. And here comes Jeremiah talking about God's promises of prospering and not harming, hope and a future. Are you kidding, God? I've been kicked out of my home that I worked so hard to get, but you're promising not to harm me. I've been fired from my job after working year after year being such a great employee, but you promised to prosper me. I've done everything the doctors have told me to do, and they still don't have a cure for my medical condition, but you promising me hope. I've given all I've got to that man or to that woman, and they still walked all over my heart, but you promising to give me a future. When, God? When will your promises reign true? And if I'm going to be honest, during my own struggles, I've had that conversation with God myself. And God's answer has always been, child, I know what I promised you, but have you done what I told you to do? So the first thing we have to know in order to endure is to make sure we make time for God. I had to go back to that 12th verse. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Basically, we can't just say, fix it, Jesus, and our struggles are over. But in order to endure, we have to call on God, pray to God, and then God will listen to us. Sometimes we think that because we are called to something, we just have to show up and it's done. There are some things that God will do immediately, but most things that we are called to requires work on our part. God is asking for something that seems so simple, yet can sometimes be such a challenge. God is simply asking us to call on him and to pray to him. And if we're honest, during our most difficult times, we may have an attitude and not even feel like praying to God. What I have come to learn is in order to be able to call on God during the struggles, it helps to be in relationship with God prior to the struggle. We should be consistently working on having a stronger relationship with Christ. Just like we make an effort in our earthly relationships with our good girlfriends or our homeboys on a daily basis, we have to make an effort to have a stronger relationship with Christ, and we have to work on that each and every day. Make time to seek God every day. Don't get stuck on not having an hour or two every day or not having a prayer room. I promise you that if you start giving God just 5 or 10 minutes every day to be in relationship with him, you will have a desire to grow more and to learn more and to walk around God with more. And the next thing you know, that 10 minutes will become 30 minutes. It'll become an hour. You'll be stealing minutes with God throughout the day, even even while sitting at your desk, going throughout your day, you'll find yourself whispering a word to God or recalling a scripture or a song. Come before God each day in whatever manner works for you. For me, it's music. I can't sing a lick, can't play nothing, but music is a vital part of my relationship with God. I have a few different playlists that I pull up depending on how I'm feeling and where I need to get to. And it takes me into a variety of praise, worship, reading, just enjoying time with God. That time with God is between you and God. And how you spend that time with God does not have to conform to how others spend time with God. Just get before God. And like the scripture says, then God will listen to you. Making this quality time of calling on God a normal part of your prayer life will make the practice easier. And you will call to God during those times of struggles when you are looking for the strength to endure. It's also good to have a solid squad. So during those times of struggle, you can call on them. Those moments of weakness when you don't feel like praying, you can pull a call out or send a text that simply says, pray for me. When my squad gets that message from me or when I receive it from one of them, a part of my prayer is always, God, give my brother, give my sister that strength they need to seek you for themselves. Another thing you can do when you find yourselves in moments of struggle to call on God is to know what it is that gets you centered on Christ and do it. A lot of times we want to do what the preacher does, what the saint does, what the neighbor does, but that won't always work for you. What is it that you need to do to get where you need to be with God? What are those songs that put you right in God's face? What are those things that you need to pick up and read and allow to pour into your spirit? What are those things that you need to turn off? Who are those people you need to back away from so that you can be centered and get right there where God has you to be? What I'm saying is, it is okay to admit sometimes we don't want to get before God, but once we acknowledge that we can and we recognize when we're in that space, we need to be able to know what the resources are we need to usher ourselves into God's presence. And once you've made time with God, the second thing you need to do is pray like you mean it. By making this quality time of calling on God a normal part of everyday life, when you are struggling to adore, it gets easier to go to God in prayer. That prayer may not be cute. Verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is not like us. We can't hear through all of the sobbing and yelling when we call our friends on the phone, but God can make through every cry, every scream, every yell, and that indeed is a form of prayer. Get transparent and be bold before God so that you can seek what you need and God will listen. And some of you may be thinking, but I already do all of this and it still doesn't seem like God is hearing me. I'm already spending day after day with God and I'm still not hearing from God. If that's you, I'd like to ask you, are you seeking God with your whole heart? Are you being transparent with God? Or are you going to God how you want God to see you? Our scripture says, go to God with all your heart, not with prayers that are memorized or using the lingo you hear the preachers and the saints, but are you praying like you mean it? Are you going before God vulnerable? Are you exposing all that is on your heart to God without worrying if it follows anybody's protocol or if it's in decency and order? Are you yelling out, God, why is this happening to me? Are you yelling out, God, why did you take my loved one? Are you yelling out, God, why did you impact my health? Are you yelling out, God, how am I going to get my meal? Or are you just pretending? Get transparent and go before God, full and vulnerable. How many of you have that one person in your life you can have a whole conversation with without even saying a word? You can just look at each other and y'all know what each other means and there's nothing else needed. That's because you have spent time with that person. You have been vulnerable with that person. You have laughed together, cried together, and probably even argued with each other. You've been real with one another. You've bared your souls with one another. So you're able to respond to one another in a way that seems effortless. How about you get real like that with God? God, it broke my heart when he wasn't there when I needed him. God, it felt like I was going to lose my mind when they told me I didn't get that job and I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next month. God, I was scared when I didn't know how I was going to buy food for my children for the week. God, I was ticked off when I had to come to that school one more time because that child was acting a fool. Seek God with all your heart. Release it to God in prayer and watch how you'll endure. And after we've accepted God's promise to prosper and not harm, to give us hope in the future, while we're in our exile moment or space of struggle, after we've called on God in prayer and been transparent and sought God with all our heart, then, as verse 14 tells us, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will bring you to the place from which I carried you into exile. In other words, you are called to endure. But here's the thing. You can't endure if you don't learn how to forgive. Huh. By not forgiving, we find ourselves replaying the bad things and remaining stuck in a cycle that prevents us from getting all that God has promised us. That's in addition to the physical problems like the stress and the high blood pressure and the upset stomach. We can't move on and let go of the ramifications from holding on to anger, bitterness, and hurt. Forgive that fool so you can get freed up and endure and receive the fullness of all God has for you. God has promised to prosper you and to harm you, so forgive. Otherwise, you may temporarily get over something, but you won't endure. The difference is when you get over something, you walk around acting like you all good. But when you forgive and you endure, you get through it and you are good. You're able to walk in a manifestation of your but God moments. And lastly, now that has been shown that you're called to endure, my question for you, my brothers and my sisters, is why has God called you to endure? Remember, there is power in your endurance. So what is the assignment that is to come out of your endurance? The assignment may not always be easy, and you will have countless days and nights where you find yourself right up in the midst of verse 12 and 13 and maybe even yelling, God, I'm calling on you and seeking you with all my heart. But know that that's okay, because that is endurance, and you just hold on. We are so willing to endure assignments God hasn't called us to, like enabling family and friends who have bad habits, or trying to force relationships to work that God never intended for us to be in. We tell ourselves, if I just keep working, if I just keep praying, I can change the situation. But why don't you just keep working and just keep praying for the things that God has called you to? To quote my baby sister, I don't want to be strong in the wrong assignment. I want to be right in the assignment that God has called me to. Help me, God, to be successful. Help me, God, to endure. You see, when we are successful in the wrong assignment, God doesn't get the glory. What is the assignment that God has for you? If we put as much work into enduring into that assignment as we do the things that he didn't call us to, imagine the glory God will get. You will be clear. It won't always be easy work to do, but you need to do it. I'm pretty sure Job didn't want to suffer all of the afflictions he suffered, but he endured. It was part of his assignment. Others may not want to go back to school, but you got to endure. It's part of your assignment. Some may want to buy the latest thing instead of saving that money to fuel your vision. It's part of your assignment. When we are obedient, we find strength in our struggles and God gets the glory. And I know firsthand that when you allow God to get the glory, you receive such an inner peace and your life is blessed in ways you never imagined. So again, I ask, what is it that you need to come out of? What is it that you need to endure? What have you already endured that will glorify God? And as you think on that, be very clear that the power in your endurance isn't the power we think of in the worldly manner to yield over another person, but to help others see the glory in God through your struggles, through your strength. Just like Job endured suffering as an assignment in order to see God's power, we too must endure so that God can be glorified and restoration can be recognized. we too will suffer as we endure as part of our assignment. Being transparent as a preacher of the gospel standing before you today is in direct correlation of me accepting the assignment that God has called me to. I was ready to give up. I was ready to quit, but God, I endured. Were it not for all of those "but God, I endured" moments, who knows where I would be? Abandonment issues, but God, I endured. A parent recovering from a drug addiction, but God, I endured. Sexual abuse and sexual assault, but God, I endured. Single parenting, but God, I endured. Domestic violence, but God, I endured. I have so many "but God" moments, but what I'm saying is you were called to endure. I was called to endure. Do the work that needs to be done to get in right relationship with God, and you gotta endure. It's not optional. It's not up for debate. You gotta endure. We walk around and call ourselves Christians. We tell everybody about this great church community of hope, but are we walking and moving like people who have endured, showing others what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be connected to community of hope? Get it together. You gotta endure. Your life depends on it. The life of your communities depend on it. The life of your children depend on it. You better endure. Move beyond verse 11. It's a beautiful verse. God has promised us some things, but you gotta do some things to get what God promised you, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how much you don't like it. You better endure. You better endure. How excellent is the name of God. How excellent is the God that positions us to endure. How excellent that the God will see through our nastiness, our ugliness, and get us through to the other side. And once you get there, you better be bold and walk in faith and power and authority and dignity. Put your head up, square your shoulders, and move like a man and woman of God. But God, I endured. But God, I endured. But God, I endured. That's all I got. The rest is up to you. Get with God and figure out how to endure. Get with God and figure out how to get out of that depression, even if it means getting a therapist. Get with God and figure out how to get out of that bad relationship, even if it means you gotta be the one to move. Get with God to figure out how to stop being so mad and nasty and angry all the time. God has already positioned you to endure. Do the work. Do the work. Do the work and endure. We've all been through. We're all going through. That's why this is community of hope, where everybody has a chance. We all got scars, but we all have the responsibility and obligation of receiving what God died on the cross for, so that we can be saved and we can endure. Standing all over the church, I told y'all I'm done. Got this call just before walking out the house. I said, God, do it. And do it how you gonna do it. So now the rest is up to you. The stage has already been set. God has already endured. Christ has already been beaten. He's already been nailed to the cross. He's already breathed his last breath and said, "It is finished," so that you and I can have eternal life. So that you and I can receive salvation. So you and I can live in a life of abundance and greatness. But you got to get there. So on this morning, if you have not yet said yes to Christ and accepted him into your life as Lord and Savior, we offer Christ to you.